Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
Home buyers will now have greater flexibility to use a CPF when buying older homes, as long as the remaining lease of the property can cover the buyer until they turn at least 95 years of age. Well, this announcement came last week from the Ministers of National Development and Manpower, which said rules on CPF usage and HDB loan housing loans have been updated to provide increased flexibility for Singaporeans to buy a home for life. If you're in the market to buy or sell an older flat, how will the changes affect you? Well, joining us for Powering Your Property today is Karamjit Singh, a senior consultant at real estate firm JLL and the CEO of ShowSuite. And ShowSuite.com is a new homes portal where you can experience a new dream home in 3D and VR. You can download the app for free on the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store. Well, Karamjit, what do you think? Who do you think is the biggest winner with these rule changes, Karamjit?
Undoubtedly, it would be those. As we head towards an aging kind of society, I suppose it's the older generation buyers. That's number one. In terms of location, it would be the older but more prime and sought-after locations. I think these would be the two segments of the market, both in terms of profile of buyers and properties that will probably be the biggest winners here.
Karamjit, what do you think of the change in the government's approach in determining loan limits, placing the focus on whether the home can last the youngest home buyer till the age of 95, rather than looking at the flat's remaining lease?
Well, again, so I think there is a recognition that as our society ages, life expectancy goes up. They need to provide for the ability to ensure that everyone have a roof over their heads, and also address that anticipated steep depreciating line as HDB properties near their residual terminal value of the lease, then I suppose this is a culmination of all these factors. So bearing in mind the 95 years age, the current age of the youngest borrower, and of course to ensure that there are at least some safeguards with the remaining lease of the properties.
Mm-hmm. Well, the new rules appear to discourage younger buyers from purchasing an aging flat. I mean, given they need to fork out more cash. Why do you think this is the case, Karamjit?
Yeah, I think it's just more of raising awareness for younger buyers who are in an earlier stage of their lives, to be prudent about long-term commitment. And so it's something for them to think about, especially if they are thinking about a shorter lease HDB flat. And so it's just a way of getting them to focus on what is more relevant for them, bearing in mind their age and their long-term commitment that they need to focus on.
What kind of impact do you think these rule changes will have on the price of older flats and on the supply of older flats on the market?
So supply, it's unlikely to change with this, but the demand side of the equation would change, especially for the more sought-after location amongst the older generation HDB flats. So here's an opportunity for perhaps families to be located close to parents or in-laws, and who are already in prime locations, prime HDB estates. So now it's an opportunity to do that and at least have their head around the fact that although they have shorter leases, but now they've got a bit more liquidity to be able to make payment for. Of course, over the longer run, the problem around depreciating asset will still remain. But then again, that's fundamental in the structure in which home buyers are actually entering into contract with, because they are leasehold properties, 99 years, so they do have a zero terminal value at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Well, what other impact do you think would it have on the overall property market?
Well, first of all, in the HDB market, there will be a bit more sense of stability, because the moment you have changes in rules that supplies more liquidity to a segment that was a bit reeling, then I suppose we probably see a bit more stabilization in prices for the aging, the older ones. But again, at the end of the day, you know, it will still remain a depreciating asset as far as we're concerned. You know, prices will continue to drop. A bit more options for home buyers. But it's not going to be that game changer that's going to spill over and affect demand and supply for the private residential side of the equation.
He's Karamjit Singh, senior consultant at Real Estate from JLL, also CEO of Show Suite. Karamjit, another major development. Just last week, the Urban Redevelopment Authority deciding to keep the status quo for those short-term stays in private homes, which means that the rentals of private properties for periods of less than 3 consecutive months, which was popularized by people renting out their homes on Airbnb, it will remain illegal in Singapore, doing so for under 3 months. Did it come as a surprise that URA, after the consultation, decided to keep the status quo?
Well, somewhat as a surprise, yes, I must say, because there was some semblance of creation of a policy paper around it by way of giving the ability to a condominium amongst the owners to decide and vote whether that project they would like to see Airbnb type taking place in their own estates by setting certain minimum thresholds, by loading onto the management council certain responsibilities to ensure that the right things are being carried out, and of course to ensure the least amount of disamenity amongst the resident owners or the occupants there. So that was being circulated, but I suppose having solicited feedback from owners, the feedback seems to be somewhere straight in the middle ground. So you have enough of people wanting and having genuine concerns around what can go wrong in this kind of scenario. But I felt that there could have been a carve out, because there will be certain properties that are not strata title, you know, owned by one asset owner, who might still be able to manage the downside because they completely own the entire building. Probably a case where the government is looking out for more case users and what has gone right and wrong in different markets, different jurisdictions, hopefully learn from that before tailoring what serves Singapore best.
Okay, so this is probably good news for the hotel industry, Karamjit. Which segment of the hospitality segment is most likely to benefit from the URA's decision?
So URA actually has already relented a previous minimum length of stay that a landlord can contract with a tenant was 6 months. That has been brought down to 3 months. But to your point, to your question, yes, it is definitely a welcome news for hospitality, in particular service apartments, who are effectively allowed to rent for a minimum of 7 days. Hotels can do daily sales of rooms on a daily basis, service apartment minimum 7 days. So that would be the closest towards what would have amounted to be an Airbnb direct competitor.
Karamjit, thanks as always for joining us with commentary on the property market there. Senior consultant at real estate firm and CEO of Show Suite, Karamjit Singh, powering your property.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.